Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory, hallelujah, and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory, hallelujah, and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You are great. Worship him. I want you to praise him right now. Come on, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Come on, he's the El Shaddai. Come on, he's our provider. Come on, he's our provider. Hallelujah. What an honor it is to be here this morning. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that that this church is on the verge of a harvest. Amen. I feel it in my spirit.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe there's some things God is going to take care of this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
That's going to launch you into another realm. And some of the things that you've been praying for,
yes, sir.
Some of the things that you've been seeking that you thought God didn't understand what you was going through, you're going to learn today. God understands everything and every place that you put your foot.
Hallelujah.
Every tear that comes down your face.
Yes, sir.
Every time your heart beats in anguish, he knows every hair on our head.
Yes, he does.
What an honor it is to be here. I love your pastor. We become good friends. He's been to Arkansas many times. So people in Arkansas keep asking you back. You know, us Southern folks, we're different. It's freezing cold up here to me. I told my wife, I said, there ain't no leaves on the trees. I don't know what's going on. There's no leaves. But what a great service Thursday night.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And there'll be more of that happen tonight, but I...
Amen.
This is not how I planned it, but I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis 6 and 5. That's the first book of the Old Testament for all you Bible scholars. Genesis 6 and 5. Are y'all hungry?
Yes, sir.
I'm hungry.
Yes, sir.
So I better not preach long, because if I fall out, nobody will be able to pick me up. I can't wait to eat a non-vegetarian meal.
Yes, sir.
You just can't substitute fried chicken, can you? Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
That's beautiful. Yes,
but
sir.
Noah found grace in the yes, eyes sir. Of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God.
Yes, sir.
Noah was a just man. Perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God.
Yes, sir.
One of these days, if the Lord tarries, I'll draw my last breath. And as they file past my big oversized casket, I mean, might as well be honest about it. I don't want them to say, man, that was one good-looking evangelist. They probably will. I mean, you got to tell the truth about people. They probably won't even remember a sermon I preached. But as my friends and family walk by, I want them to say, you know what? Nick Mahaney walked with God. I don't care if I ever preach general conference. I want to walk with God.
Yes, sir.
Come on, I don't care if I don't say the right English, because I am Southern, so we say ain't, can't, and pert near it. But I want to walk with God.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to preach on life after the flood. God's about to speak to somebody in this place. I feel it all over me right now. Come on, lift your hands.
Lord Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
speak today, God.
By the authority of the word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak the word of faith in this place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let the anointing that you placed upon my life, let it begin to flow out and touch people, God. God, I've been praying for your people, Lord. This is not about me. It's all about you and your people, God. God, I'm asking you to speak to us today. I'm asking you to mend the broken heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in this place. Come on, they've been studying on the gifts. They've been praying about the gifts. Now let the gifts of the Spirit operate right now in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. And I take dominion and authority over any spirits that are not of you right now. They have to leave or they have to be silent in Jesus' name. Come on, can everybody say in the name of Jesus? Come on, say it one more time. Thank you. You may be seated. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that just has a good ring to it, doesn't it? In the beginning, guess what the beginning means? At the start, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was without form, and it was total darkness. But God said, let there be light, and guess what happened? Come on. God saw the light and he said it was good. So he divided the light from the darkness and there was night and day. Real complicated, isn't it? Only thing stood between me and college was high school, and I can see that. This was the first day. Wow. Now on the second day, God divided heaven and earth. Then on the third day, God divided the water, the land, and he created all the trees and all the grass. And then the fourth day, God created the sun. Now he wanted to make it simple for us, so he called it the bigger light. Don't stare at the big light, y'all. And he called the moon the lesser light. See, he didn't want to get over our heads. And the stars to rule the night. Now the fifth day, this is my favorite. This is when God created all the whales and the fish. I love catfish. Hallelujah. God created catfish. Y'all not like catfish? Man. I was up way up north past this place. I said, how much further north can we go? North Pole? Am I going to be preaching to Santa tonight? And we caught a bunch of fish, and I said, well, let's make some hush puppies. Those fellas said, what's a hush puppy? I thought lightning was going to strike them. I'm like, bro, what's a hush puppy? Man, you can't eat fish without hush puppies. And he created all the winged fowl, chicken. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, you'll be able to tell the Mahaney table because the colonel, he's saved. I'm telling y'all. The colonel's going to be standing there with a bucket of original. Well, I feel it now. My cardiologist must be needing a new boat because I'm craving fried chicken. Then on the sixth day, God created the cattle. And all the beasts. And he gave us dominion over them. I told you I had a word for you. So God needed somebody to have dominion over this earth. So he formed himself man out of the dust of the earth. And he shaped and he created man. Now, evolution doesn't believe that. You ever notice it's the theory of evolution? I was reading about evolution and they said one-celled amoeba, one cell, flopped up on the beach. Because that's all you can do. You got one cell, you got to flop, you know. And just so happens another one-celled amoeba come down the beach. And he said, because there wasn't a lot of other one-celled amoebas around. And they went on a date to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they got married. They better have gotten married because they had a two-celled amoeba. And they called it a biped. So this biped just happened to run into another biped. They don't explain where all these other one-celled and two-celled are coming from. And they had a baby, and they called it a triped. This is what they teach. And the triped met another triped. Guess what they had? A quadruped. See, it keeps evolving. Then they had a pentaped. And in the 70s, they were riding mopeds. I think they're dope heads, Pastor. No, God created man. I didn't evolve from an ape. I don't even like bananas. And you don't, I'm telling you, you don't want to see me try to climb a tree. I'm a little top heavy. God created man. We were created in the likeness of God. You want to know what God looks like? Come on, I was created in His image. I was created to be like Him. Now, everything that God created, He just commanded it, and it happened. But man was special to Him, so He took His breath and He breathed upon man, and man became a living soul. Come on, that's what happened at the day of Pentecost. God breathed upon His church. Come on, and He breathed on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. And when He breathed upon us, we became a living church with the Holy Ghost residing in us, God's Spirit. Come on, I'm glad I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling preacher. Come on, I serve the one true God. Now here's man in a utopia. Here's man in a paradise that God has gave him dominion. So God saw that man was lonely, so He causes a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and He takes a rib. He reaches in and takes a rib from him. Good thing I wasn't Adam, because I love ribs. I don't share my ribs very often. And He created a helpmate called woman. Now they're placed in this paradise. Everything they need is at their disposal. They can partake of everything but one tree. This tree in the middle of the garden is forbidden to them. They can't eat it. They're not supposed to even touch it. But unlike the animals that God had created, man was created different. Man had a will, and he had the ability to make choices. Now we all know the story, how the serpent beguiled Eve, and she ate of the forbidden fruit. Then she gets Adam to eat. And they're banished now from the paradise. And now they are cursed. Eve has to bear children. And Adam has to work and till the ground. Blessed with two sons, it's not long before jealousy and envy and hatred work their way into their lives. And Cain is angered because God doesn't accept his sacrifice. And jealous because God has accepted Abel's more excellent sacrifice. So in a fit of rage, he kills his brother. Now Adam and Eve have to taste the sting of death as well. But they are blessed now with Seth. And the Bible tells us that generations go by and the world is multiplied. Instead of good and godly, the world has become worldly and corrupt. Evil abounds. Their imaginations, their thoughts, and their heart is evil. It's almost like reading the paper today, isn't it? Come on, we're living in the last days, church. Come on, Jesus is about to come back. You better get your heart and you better get your house in order because he could come back before this Sunday night service. Come on, we're living in a time when he's about to split the eastern skies wide open. Come on, he's going to blow that trumpet and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we're going to shake off this mortal body and we're going to step into an immortal body and forever and ever to be with him. Genesis 6 and 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. You see, God then establishes a covenant with Noah and Noah's wife and their three sons and their wives. If they will come into the ark, they will be saved. So God begins to move on the animals. How many of the unclean? Do y'all remember? I didn't mean to stump you. It's only one of the first stories in the Bible. How many of the unclean? Yes. What about the clean? Man, y'all are on it. Have you ever wondered why seven? Because it takes pairs to procreate. That leaves one oddball, right? Remember the guy that used to always hang around you on the date? Because God intends for us to be ready for sacrifice. He made an odd number because he knew that we always have to be ready for sacrifice. Come on, we live in a society without sacrifice. Come on, we live in a society where sacrifice hasn't been taught in our homes or shown by example. But I want to tell this church, every powerful and every good thing from God will always come from a sacrifice. Come on, fire will follow a sacrifice. You want the Holy Ghost and fire in your home? Sacrifice. You want Holy Ghost and fire in your church? Sacrifice. Because God will send the fire when we begin to sacrifice. So Noah takes his family into the ark. Y'all don't mind Bible stories, do you? Because I preach a lot out of Bible stories. I mean, it's kind of about the Bible, right? Just checking. So Noah takes his family into the ark as commanded by God. He waits 7 days. 7 days the door of the ark was left open so that anyone that wanted to could walk in and be saved. 7 days at a chance for mercy. 7 days for a chance at grace. 7 days and not one person took the opportunity to be saved. Come on, I'm just going to tell you, it's no different today than it was then. Night after night, service after service, you're blessed. You hear the best preaching go across this pulpit. Did you hear the music, how anointed and how gifted it was? But still in your heart, you know you're not right. But you've refused to move out of your seat. Don't get quiet on me now. You get to thinking, well, I got time. God, he's been supposed to come back for centuries. I've got time. And you lull yourself into a false sense of security with service after service, with grace and mercy, setting up here ready for you to repent. Come on, all it takes is repentance. You know in your heart when you've done something wrong. You don't need me to tell you what you're doing wrong because the Holy Ghost is telling you what you need to change in your life. Come on, the biggest fool that ever lived in this world is somebody that goes to hell sitting in a Pentecostal church. Come on, the day is coming when the hand of God is going to shut the door on our soul. And you better realize right now that I better find him while I have grace and mercy helping me. Genesis 7 and 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth. Everybody say 40 days and 40 nights. For 40 days and 40 nights, this ark was pounded by the waves. 40 days and 40 nights, this ark was pounded by the wind and the rain. Can you imagine being tossed up and down, side to side? You're getting sick from the waves. And it's not just the waves, but the smell of thousands of animals will make you sick. If you don't believe me, go to the big cat house at the Columbus Zoo. And you can't even see the light of day. There's no cool breeze from the night on your face. Day after day, night after night, it seems like there is no end in sight. I got, we traveled for 5 years in a RV. It was a 42-foot long tornado magnet. Seemed like everywhere we went, there was a tornado. We was in a tornado, and I stood at the door. My wife would tell you, it was ripping stuff up all around us, and I stood at the door and said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Come on. It blew up everything around us. Our awning didn't even go in. You'll be surprised how when you get scared, your faith goes up. But we got caught in a storm for 3 days. We couldn't leave our trailer. The wind was sideways, and I was caught in that trailer for 3 days with two little kids, a dog, and my wife. I told my wife, if the doctor gives me 3 days to live, put me in this trailer for 3 days in a storm, because it was the longest 3 days of my life. Can you imagine? 40 days, 40 nights. Genesis 7 and 24, and it says, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So after 40 days and nights, the rain has stopped. And even though the rain has stopped, guess what? The storm isn't over. The rain may have stopped, but you're still trapped in this boat with the water and the waves still pounding you. And there's nowhere for you to go. You can't get rid of the stench and the smell. The rain may have stopped, but I'm here to tell you the storm isn't over yet. Then after 150 days, Genesis 8 and 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Can you imagine 150 days trapped in this giant boat? After 150 days, I'm just going to be honest with you. It looks like you're never going to get out. And it's not just the stench, and it's not just the animals, but animals make annoying sounds. I've got a little dog. Everybody laughs when I walk my little dog, as big as I am. She's Chihuahua, and Papa was a traveling man. We don't know. That dog barks at everything. It barks at stuff, and you go look, and there's nothing out there. It barked one night. I went and got my pistol. You know, we all got pistols in Arkansas. I thought, man, there's somebody outside. It was a turtle. I'm bouncing through the house like Starsky and Hutch, and it's a turtle. And the dog's bark pierces your bone marrow. It would be my luck that the dogs God saved were Chihuahuas. And they would go to barking, and them elephants, you know. I would have went crazy. They'd have found me like hiding in the corner of the boat somewhere, shaking. The sounds, the stench, the filth. Can you imagine? You have been rocking in this boat for 150 days. You're over there feeding the hippopotamus. That's hard to say. Hippopotamus. I'm going to kill a hippopotamus for Christmas. And all of a sudden that boat stops. You're like, ooh, slow down. And you're thinking, hallelujah. Man, this boat has stopped. Maybe we're about to get out of here. You've been 150 days trapped in the boat. But what you don't realize, after the boat comes to rest, it's still 105 days sitting there, not knowing what's going on, not knowing if you're ever going to see the light of day. Then finally, Brother Noah gets up. You remember, the elders used to always put the roll up. They'd walk up there. 57 today. And they're like, you're like, oh man, what was last week? 54. Oh yes, we beat last week. And he'd put offering last week. Oh man, what do we do today? $1.37. Yes, hallelujah. Because it was $1.27 last week. And everybody in the church would watch the elder walk up to the little old board, you know. All of a sudden, old Brother Noah starts walking. And they're like, And he starts heading up the steps. I think he's going to the window. They had never had the window open. They hadn't been outside. They couldn't go fishing. They only had two worms. I mean, can you imagine explaining to the Lord? Sorry, Lord, only got one worm left. Where'd the other one go? Welcome to my world. And that dude walks up to the window. And fresh air rushes in. Sunlight penetrates the dark. And the Bible says Noah sends out a raven and a dove. And the dove returns because there's nowhere for it to rest. And he turns around. Everybody's looking at the window and standing in the breeze. 7 more days. You want to talk about putting a damper on the service at night. 7 more days stuck in this boat. 7 days later, he lets the dove go again, but this time it comes back with an olive branch. And he knows that the water is abated. Guess what, church? The water's gone. You're like, 7 more days. What do you mean 7 more days? Genesis 8 and 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. You see, the first thing Noah did was, when he stepped back on the earth, was that he built an altar. I want you to understand, this is the first time in Scripture that altar is ever mentioned in the Bible. I don't think it was happenstance that after the worst trial ever known to man, and after the worst storm in history, the only thing on Noah's mind was, I've got to build an altar of sacrifice so I can give thanks to God for bringing me through this storm. Come on, I'm talking to somebody in this place. You've been in the biggest storm of your life. The wind and the rain have been coming down. It's been tossing you. It's been turning you. And sometimes you don't even know if you're going to make it another day. People around you can see you in this trial, and they see you in this storm. They even see the rain coming down, and you cry out in agony, and it seems like it's to no avail. And then finally the rain quits, and the wind ceases. And to all appearances, it seems like you have weathered this storm. But what no one else sees is that you're still in the pits, and you're still embedded deep in the stench and the filth of this storm. Then the boat of your trial finally comes to rest, and you think, well, maybe it's over now. In reality, you're just halfway through your trial. You're just halfway through your storm. You put on airs, and you try to let everyone think that it's all right and that I've got it made. But the reality is, it's not over yet. And alone at night, You cry out in pain with the tears of the storm streaming down your face. Then all of a sudden the window of your boat is opened up and fresh air and sunlight begins to stream in. And that's when you realize, you know what? I think I can make it after all that I've been through. Guess what? I think I'm going to make it after all the rain, after all the wind, after all the waves, the trials of the storm. Finally, the door of your prison is open. This is where the altars of sacrifice, they become milestones in your life. Because this altar is like no other. Because this is your personal altar of sacrifice. Because it's the trials and it's the storms that make us who we are. Without the storm, we wouldn't be able to appreciate the sacrifice. Come on, I want to tell somebody in this place this Sunday morning, come on, hold on. Your storm is almost over. Hold on. Victory is in sight. Come on, you made it this far. Don't turn back now. You keep putting one foot in front of the other because your storm is almost over. Here's one of the most powerful scriptures I've ever read. Genesis 9 and 28. And Noah lived after the flood. What? And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. After all the trials he had been through, after all the wind and after all the rain, Noah found out that there's life after your storm. Come on, the devil wants you to think that it's over. But God sent me to tell you today, your storm is over. Come on, there's a harvest trying to come to this church in Mount Vernon. Come on, God is just waiting on you now to step out of the boat and build you an altar, a sacrifice. Come on and make a step forward. The Bible tells us in Job 42 and 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And then it says verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years. Come on, your life's not over. Come on, this church is not over. This church is getting its stride. Come on, it's about to take this county. Come on, God is positioning you so that you can go out and reach people that nobody else is trying to reach. And with them is going to come their homes and their families. The doctors, the lawyers. You've been struggling. You've been in the pits. We apostolics, we know how to look the part. Dress just right. Music comes on. We know when to shout, when to cry. No, just when, which hand raised to do this one, that one, or this one, you know. But we're afraid to open up and let God heal us. Because we're afraid if Sister so-and-so might think I'm backslid if I go down to the altar. So you sit there and you wallow in the stench and the filth of your storm. When out of everybody in this county, you're the ones that know who God really is. You're not messed up thinking that there's three persons in a Godhead. Come on, you know that Jesus is the Father. You know that Jesus is the Son. You know that Jesus is the Holy Ghost. You know the power. Come on, some of you elders, you remember the days when God was healing people and you walk around in the stench and the filth of the storm. You're not backslid. God is just waiting on you to open up so the body can pray for one another. Come on, I can't make it without my brother. Come on, I can't make it without my brother. You can't make it without your sister. Come on, Apostolic Church. We got to get to where the body begins to work with the body. And quit walking through the filth and the stench of the storm. Because there's life after your flood. Back in the old days. Y'all remember they'd say, we want the choir to come sing. And everybody went to the platform but the visitors. Remember? If you was in church, you was in the choir. But they had something that we've lost. I don't miss the brush arbors. Thank God for air conditioning. I am a sweater. I don't miss the spoons and a guitar. Y'all may not. I remember when we had just nothing but spoons and a guitar and an accordion in church. I don't miss that. What I miss is there was a sincerity that we have lost. You could be in church, and I've seen that old farmer get up, big weathered hands, come down with tears down on his face. I've seen him many a time sit on the altar. He didn't worry about somebody thinking he was backslid. You know what? He was going through a trial, and he knew his only way out was the body to pray for him. You remember, we used to pray. We used to pray till we prayed through. That didn't mean just for the sinner. That was also for the saint. We would pray until we touched heaven and we knew that he had pressed through. Come on, that little beautiful gray-headed lady with her hair pulled back in a knot, soft little hands shaking, holding a hanky as she walked down, tears running down her face. She didn't care what they thought. She just knew that she had been in a battle. And she knew that the body was going to have to help her. And she would sit on that altar. And all the sisters would get around. And they would begin to plead the blood. Come on, don't be afraid to plead the blood of Jesus. And they would pray until they broke through. Until something changed. Now we've got too fancy. If it doesn't fit in our program. Oh God, he went past 12:15. We better go. You ever wondered why the Pentecostals are beating the Baptists now to the restaurant? It didn't used to be like that. Come on, I've seen them slayed out in the spirit on Sunday morning, praying one for another. That's why God healed their bodies. That's why they seen miracles that we don't see now in our churches. It's because they were sold out for God. They wasn't afraid to come down and say, look, I'm going through a storm. I need the body to pray for me. I came here this morning to tell you there's life after your flood. Come on, there's life after your storm. Come on, I'm talking to you. You want me to tell you what the Lord's speaking to me? You want to hear it? Come on, you sit on the edge of your bed. Come on, husband, leader of your home. You sit on the edge of your bed wondering, I don't know if I even believe this anymore because the devil's trying to cloud your mind. I don't know if God heals people anymore. So you sit there in doubt. You're afraid to tell your wife what you're feeling, and you just quit praying. You quit studying, and you're getting further and further and further away. I'm here to tell you, if you'll step out in faith this morning and let the body pray for you, God will bring you up out of that storm. Come on, and you'll be a prayer warrior again. You'll be a man of God to lay hands on the sick and they say, I'll recover. Come on, lady. Come on, young lady. You've been wondering, all this stuff old-fashioned. Do I even know what I'm doing? Walking through the storm. We're in an identity crisis. God is here to pull you out of it today. God is here to lift you up on your feet, and the body will get around you. We'll pray for you. Because there's life after the flood. Let's all stand. Jesus, help me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been focusing in like a laser on healing for this revival.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because I see it all the time. I've had them bring them to me on boards with their legs and feet crippled up in the Philippines, and God instantly straightened them out and they start running. Deaf ears unstopped. And I've been praying, God, use me in the gifts of the Spirit so this church could see major miracles and healing. But the Lord spoke to me sitting right there. He said their first healing has to come within this church. Beautiful sanctuary. You're at a great, let me tell you, church, you're at a great time in the history of this church. The devil knows there's nothing he can do to stop the church. So what he does, he tries to wear out the saints. He's been attacking your home. He's been attacking your mind. Come on, this is going to be a healing service, but of a different kind. Come on, that inner man, that inner woman that has been under strife and has been under pressure, and has been under doubt and disbelief. God is here right now. He wants to move upon you, and he wants to heal you. He wants to bring you out of that boat. Come on, out of that storm. He wants to bring you out, and he wants to pull you out and heal you. Come on, begin to pray right now.
Hallelujah.
Come on, can I tell the visitor today, there's not no accident that you're here. Come on, you've been in a struggle, you've been in a battle. God wants to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He wants to give you the power that you've been searching for all your life, and that you know that there's life after your flood, there's life after your storm. I want to explain something to you real fast. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is action. You can sit there and not have anything happen to you. Now, God's able to, but God wants to see our faith. God wants to see, do you really believe in me enough to step out and quit worrying about what everyone else is thinking and get deliverance for them things that have been pulling you down and been trying to keep you? Come on, who's willing to step out? Come on, faith, I shouldn't have to beg you. You're fighting and you're battling things in your life. Come on, you're going, depression and anxiety and fear has been fighting you. Come on, you're going to sit there when God's here to deliver you this morning. Come on, because there's life after your flood. Come on, young person, quit fighting fear and anxiety. God wants you to step out into a newness of life. Come on, elder. Come on, you've been in the battle so long that you've grown weary. God wants to rejuvenate you. God wants to give you a strength that you haven't had in a long time. Come on, young married couple. Come on, God is trying to pull you out. God is trying to use you. Come on, emotional healing. Emotional healing, this is it for you. Before we can go to the miracle signs and wonders, we got to have our spirits right. We got to be healed emotionally. Cast away all the fears that's besetting us. Come on, if you've never spoken in tongues, come on to the altar. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. Some of you husbands, the enemy's being attacked in you and your home and your wife and your family. Come on, you need to be down here with your family saying, we're not taking this anymore. That we're going to bind together. We're going to fight this. Because there's life after the flood. Don't let the devil tell you it's over. Your life is just starting. Noah's ministry was greater after the flood than it was before the flood. Come on, ministry team. Come on. Be used in the gifts of the Spirit.